Welcome to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Now get ready for another episode of Dark Becomes Light with Heidi Hollis.
You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Welcome to my show. Remember, each week you could come here to hear the most unique conversations when it comes to your personal encounters with anything and everything out of the ordinary. Be sure to visit my main website, which is HeidiHollis.com. Send me whatever it is that you'd like to share, comment on, or even get advice on. Send it through my main website, and I will address it here on the air. And always, if you'd like to be a guest on this program, please indicate that. I welcome anybody to come here and share about whatever it is they would like to when it comes to shedding some light on topics we don't always discuss out in the open. And that's just it. It is all about bringing these things out into the open. There's nothing to be ashamed about. The more we talk about these things, the more commonplace they will become. So let's all get comfortable. Let's settle down. And let's just be human. Now, you may have noticed at the beginning of this program that I introduced the show as Dark Becomes Light versus the darker side of life. Because when you think about it, my books and the things that I cover, for the most part, it is about bringing things into the light, into a lighter space, to look to the more positive. Yes, these topics that I discuss are put into that darker side of our lives where we don't always talk about them, as I was saying. Bringing it into the light is the goal. So why not change the whole show title to be exactly what this show is about? So that's what we all decided to do here at Coast to Coast AM. I think it's a great move, and I hope you enjoy it. I think it reflects more of who I am and where we're going with all of this. Let me know your thoughts about the change. My website is not just about receiving your emails about what you're experiencing, but I want your opinions. I want you to help shape the flow and the goals of this show. I am all about keeping it real, remaining down to earth, because I always say I'm someone who has been there, seen that, experienced it, freaked out, found some answers, wrote about it, and got over it. And now I'm hoping to help everyone do the same thing because, wow, it is quite the process. A lot of us who sit behind these type of shows, we come from a place of experience. Sure, there are some that are just simply researchers, but even if they're just researchers, they tend to have experiences themselves at some point. Because when you start talking about this stuff, that stuff starts looking back at you, wondering, where did you come from? And let me show you the truth. So I've been there. I've been through it since I was as young as I can recall. I have seen everything from the terror that a lot of people have when it comes to clowns. I saw a robotic toy clown that came after me and my kid sister. I've seen ghosts. I've seen shadow people. I've seen angels. I've even had encounters with Jesus. And out of everything, I was a pretty big skeptic when it came to people reporting to have encounters with Jesus. Because I've seen angelic beings and I just assumed people must be seeing angels and thinking it's Jesus. Because I've seen them, I didn't give it that title to say, well, must be Jesus. I have seen so many strange things, and it's been a learning experience, and I really hope that I can help everyone grow along with me. It's hard to paint the perfect picture so everybody understands what it is that you've experienced, and oh gosh, I've so many times wished that I could just peel my eyeballs out and give them to people so they can see what I have seen. And I never have considered myself to be a psychic or a guru, or anything out of the ordinary like that. I just thought I had bad luck or weird luck to experience the things that I have. But, you know, there's a reason behind everything. And I am always learning, I'm always growing, and I have learned more about why it is I've seen some of the things that I have, and someday I'll talk a little bit more about that. These are strange times we're living in, and there's a reason why there are more and more of us who are feeling this inner pull that tells us there's something really important we're supposed to be doing right now. I've been meeting these very unique people online who are just like, I don't know why I'm reaching out to you, but I feel like you get me, and I feel like I'm in this battle for something, and I'm waiting here, and I'm just pacing myself, and I'm like, where do you live? They tell me, Guatemala. I'm over here. I'm over there. And I'm like, nice to know there's another warrior hanging out, because we are waiting. There is something about to go down, and we all feel that, don't we? And now we're being faced with one of the most incredibly difficult crises in modern times. But you know what? We're going to get through this. And everybody's like, it's the end of the world. It's all so horrible. I feel you. It's been a very difficult time for most people. I don't know anyone who's had a great time this past year. But you know what? It's a time of change versus a time of destruction only. We're going to grow through this. We're going to get through it. And we're going to see there's a lot of light at the end of this tunnel. And we'll get there together. Today, in the last couple of segments for the show, I have a tremendous guest that you're going to really enjoy, Nathaniel Gillis. He is a demonologist and just extraordinarily gifted in explaining some of the challenges that we are dealing with today and of yesterday, and how we can all kind of fight the good fight. Now, getting to some of your emails. I've got one here that is very interesting. This comes to us from Sherry, and she says, Dear Heidi, my name is Sherry, and around 6 years ago, at the age of 50, just out of nowhere, I began to develop psychic abilities. Wow, that's cool. God only knows what that means and why at that age. When it happened, I started having a lot of problems from family members because of it. They just didn't believe me, and it really sucked. I can imagine. To make a long story short, I found a school in England, a prestigious one, where I learned some discipline on this new ability. It gave me focus, structure, and most importantly, what was going on in my head. As I began to develop these abilities more, something different happened to me that didn't happen to the other ladies in the school. I began to feel and see things that the others could not. First, I just started seeing ghosts. Just everyday people who were earthbound for regular reasons or fear. Some even stuck around for family ties and such. But then, out of nowhere, entities showed up that were capable of changing shape. Some were even ancient, creepy, and Egyptian people. Some were non-human beings. That's where it went to crap, so to say. The school does not advocate these beliefs. They only conduct their business in the spirit world. All while I'm seeing black little entities run around people, and I had no way to explain or express these things. I have way more stories and stranger things to share than I am able to write here, and my abilities are way out of the ordinary. The reason I write this, I see that you have your share of horror stories. I would say so. I was wondering if you have a way to keep them away or prevent them from what they do. I really just want to destroy them, but I cannot find any valuable information on how to say, stop it, or take them on, or defeat them, disable them, something other than just look at them. Thank you for any help you may afford me. Sherry. quite the character there, Sherry. Yeah, I understand. I have been talking and dealing with this type of thing for a long time, and it's like, you don't see what I see? You don't see what's going on here? How do we take this on? So I get it, and I'm sorry. That is really bizarre, out of nowhere, at the age of 50, to get these types of abilities. I'm wondering if something happened that you just didn't share here. I mean, did you have an illness? Did you hit your head? It seems to be those are the triggering things that cause people to suddenly have psychic abilities. Could have been some kind of a shift in your structure of who you are. I don't know. I mean, that is quite rare and quite fascinating, but lucky you. I have to address something that you mentioned here that, oh my gosh, I have a lot of friends that are psychics and love them to pieces, but most of them are like what you're saying with this school. Oh, we don't want to look at dark things. No, no, no. Everything is love and light. Love and light. That's all we want to deal with. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm sitting here with the knowledge of having seen that little black thing just scurried behind your desk. And they say, ignore the spirit. It's like, ignore the spirit. Oh, that's so easy to say. Easier said than done, you know? So I feel for you having to bear witness to this, but it can be taken on in a certain way. And I'll go into some depth about how to do that when we come back from the break. You guys, you are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Heidi Hollis coming right up.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Did you know that tests that could save your life from cancer are now available for little or no cost, thanks to the healthcare law called the Affordable Care Act? Let this be the year you get screening tests that can help detect cancer early when it's most treatable. Don't let concerns get in your way. Talk to a doctor or other medical professional to learn more about the best cancer testing options for you.
Hey folks, we need your music. Hey, it's producer Tom at Coast to Coast AM, and every first Sunday of the month, we play music from emerging artists just like you. If you're a musician or a singer and have recorded music you'd like to submit, it's very easy. Just go to coasttocoastam.com, click the Emerging Artist banner in the carousel, follow the instructions, and we just might play your music on the air. Go now to coasttocoastam.com to send us your recording. That's coasttocoastam.com.
You're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network with the best shows that explore the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained. You can enjoy all shows on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio at Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. If you notice, we got a new title to the show. I hope you guys enjoy it, and please let me know what your thoughts are about it, because I think it reflects more what this program is all about, shedding some light on these darker topics that are less spoken of in the world today. But we're going to change that, right? That's the goal. All right. So before the break, I had an email from Sherry who mentioned at the age of 50, she suddenly became psychic. She was able to see things that other people weren't. She got some training on how to focus this new gift that she got. And they were all just focusing on love and light. Just ignore the dark stuff. She started to see what she called were ghostly apparitions, Egyptian-looking people, and these little black things that we all know and can't stand are shadow people. They were shape-shifting, they were doing things, and she didn't go into detail about that, but she wants to know how she could do the smackdown on them, essentially. Which I understand, Sherry. That's my whole goal, is to try to get people to push these things out of their way and out of their lives, because their presence limits everybody, including you, who has these gifts. But imagine if you could clear the way and get these dark things out of our space, you'll see more angelic beings among us. When the darkness leaves, everything changes. And that's where we're going to get to, because I'm not going to stop until we do. How about that? So I love your enthusiasm on how to do the smackdown on these things, that you're really wanting to figure a way on how to not watch them only, but like kick them out. So I tell people, you don't want to challenge these things. You do not. You don't want to go at them. You don't want to run from them either. Ignoring them doesn't always help either. Of course, you don't want to feed into them with fear. And you know, when you run, that feeds into them. When you swing at them, that's anger and hatred. That's kind of like what they love as midnight snacks. So no, we don't want to do any of that. What we want to do is stand in our greatness. Okay. That we can be just fine where we're at. Imagine standing like a brick wall. And as they come, it's just a pinky. Just give him a pinky of effort. No. And have that confidence to stand tall and firmly. That's when you sprinkle some Jesus on it on top of it all. Because these things are ancient and wise and very powerful. But so are we. Our souls are a lot older than we give credit. But Jesus is the force to take on their king, okay? This is kind of like a chess game, if that makes any sense. They come at you. You block them. We're not the ones to go on the attack, okay?
That's not the mission. The mission is to just push them back from whence they came. Protect your space. They didn't come from you. They don't live in your house. That's not their original form, is your home, right? So find the button that pushes them out, and that button is light. That light comes from God. I'm Christian. I use Jesus. Push them back from whence they came. And that is protecting your space, okay? So bless your space. Oh, they can't get in. That keeps them out of there, and it pushes further out the more and more people do it. Does that make sense? So using that protective sense and that protective method helps with that. Now, it doesn't help when we look at people and we see these shadowy things hanging on them. I feel your pain. Imagine if that person had protected their space and do like I do. I use my cross necklace to bless my space, and then I keep my cross with me. Do you think these shadowy things are going to come scurrying around me? No. They keep their distance. Every once in a while, they might take a peek, but I'm like, look, bro, not dealing with you. The door is there. And this is why I try to tell friends, family, anybody that'll pay attention, you've got to do this method and protect yourself, because I can't do it for you. We all have to participate. And people are like, oh, that's that religious thing. You know when you feel bad mojo. Why do we know that? Because we are more than the husk that you see, right? We know. We get those tingly sensations, our spidey senses, or whatever it is. Act on it. Stop pretending that you don't have it. All right. Thank you so much, Sherry, for taking the time to send that in. And check that out. You know, a lot of people feel like, oh, I can't be psychic. I'm not born with it. Some people are just gifted. She's 50 years old, and she became gifted. She didn't seem to understand how or why, but it can happen to the best of us, opening up our hearts and minds. So I came across something rather fascinating online. There's so many people who have experienced what they are deeming to be sleep paralysis, and it's just a mere coincidence you're seeing a man in a hat or shadowy things. I beg to differ. Okay. I think you guys realize that by now. So this story and people sharing their experiences comes from thoughtcatalog.com. And the article is called 15 People on Their Experience with the Sleep Paralysis Demon. Really? Okay. All right. So this one is entitled Someone Saved Me. And this person writes, one night, as I was trying to fall asleep, my arm fell through the bed. That really struck me personally. If you guys don't know my story about that, unbelievable. And they continue. Obviously, my physical arm was still lying on the bed. Usually when this happens, I just pick my arm up, but this time I got curious. How long would it last? So I started waving my arm around, and my shoulder slipped through. This was new and exciting. I moved my fingers around, swung my arm around some more, and got bold. I consciously attempted to push my head through the bed. It worked. But what I saw was nothing. I don't mean I couldn't see, but it was as if something was in fact nothing in this space. I must sound totally bonkers right now. I could feel, though, that there was something farther away. My fear being exactly zero at this point, and my curiosity impossible to control, I threw caution to the wind and tried to reach out as far as I could for whatever it was I could feel out there. Big mistake. My leg slipped. The rest of my torso slipped. My other arm slipped, and my hips started to fall in. At the very last moment, when my left leg was all that was attached and I was about to go, I realized somehow that what I was reaching for was not a thing I wanted to interact with. There was fear of an intensity equal to my rage during sleep paralysis. Fear like I've never experienced. At this point, I tried to pull back, but there was nothing I could do. I tried to swing my leg back up to smash into my body, but it was stretched down, like being pulled into a void. My other knee slipped. Nothing but my foot and ankle down and part of my left hip holding me up at this point. I was pretty sure I was about to be gone, whatever that means. Just at that last second, something reached in, grabbed my shoulder, and yanked me back up. Like it was nothing. I really can't explain this properly either. The hand felt solid, powerful, like I was in its natural habitat. It pulled me back up with all the difficulty of lifting a cotton ball. I slammed back into my body with a feeling of finality, as if to say, "No freaking way I'm letting you fall into that." That was awesome. But you know, we have these out-of-body experiences every so often, and yeah, we get curious. We want to take a look and see what we can find, but oftentimes there's something waiting, hoping that you dare travel so they can grab you. Luckily, we have an opposing side that's willing and quick to pull us back when we go too far. But not everybody. How many people die in their sleep, and why? Could this be an explanation? I think it's a possibility. Coming up next, demonologist Nathaniel Gillis. You are in for a treat. You guys better stick around for this one. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
You're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Heard on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey folks, it's easier than ever to become a Coast to Coast AM insider and have access to past shows, the Art Bell Vault with classic audio and interviews, and so much more. And you can listen to the show live or on demand with your computer or cell phone, and the audio streams are high quality and crystal clear. It's easy to become an insider. Just head on over to coasttocoastam.com, the website, and you'll find all the info right there. That's coasttocoastam.com, coasttocoastam.com.
With age, women and men have issues with fine lines, wrinkles, under-eye bags, crepey skin on the neck, and aging on the hands. Dr. Nathan Newman has developed Lumines for amazing results treating these issues with his stem cell-based formula, APT200. Try Lumines today with our postage-paid starter kit for only $19.99, available exclusively at HealthyLooking.com. Join thousands of satisfied customers using Lumines. Learn more at HealthyLooking.com.
And now more Heidi Hollis on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And as promised, I have a fabulous guest today, Nathaniel Gillis. He is a religious demonologist and author. And after living in a haunted house, Nathaniel spent 20 years researching what it was he encountered. Nathaniel has sought to redefine the nature of haunting phenomena, ghosts, and high strangeness. He's often quoted for his concept of the demonic, saying the reason they are playing by different rules is because they are playing a different game. Welcome to the show, Nathaniel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good, Heidi. It's an honor and pleasure to be with you. I'm so excited to be on the show today.
Yeah, same here. You know, you have such a wealth of information, and I always find it fascinating to hear where people began. You and I have something in common. We both grew up in a haunted house. So where did this launch off for you?
Oh my goodness. It started as early as the open house. Even before we purchased the home, my parents took me in and showed me what will become my room in the future. And they kind of just said, you know what, Nate, take a look around. This is going to be yours here soon. We're going to go in the kitchen and talk to the realtor. Well, I'm kind of poking through the room, you know, opening up the closet, trying to figure out where I'm going to put my bed and all that. And I was drawn, for some strange reason, drawn to look underneath the bed that was in the room. And so I remember kneeling down, pulling the blanket up. And as soon as I did, my eyes were met with a full-bodied apparition of a pale little girl. She looked to be about 6 years old. And when our eyes met, she shimmied her body all the way back to the wall, the furthest from me. And so it was, I mean, just that early onset, that was my first experience with the paranormal.
Disturbing.
And yeah, it was quite disturbing. And so, you know, she was, I'm talking like, you know how you hear people say, okay, they see an apparition that it looks like it's just a regular person. They can't put them anywhere. They can't place them. That's exactly what happened, Heidi.
Huh.
And so she was beautiful. I mean, my God, she was pale. She had long black hair. She was wearing a white linen dress that had to, it looked at least to have been made during the turn of the century. But once we moved into the home, the presence in the house manifested more malevolently. there would be a rancid stench that would fill my room at night. There would be shadow figures. I mean, I had the whole gamut of paranormal experiences. I mean, everything except UFO abduction, thank God. Yeah. Wow. But that's where I began. So, you know.
Amazing. So do you find that significant that it always seems to be a haunting involves mm-hmm. a little girl? What?
Yeah. I think in some cases we are dealing with actual apparitions in terms of disincarnate consciousness. On the other hand, I do believe that there are entities, the parasitic nature, that will manifest as a little girl to get consent or to appear to someone in a an image that they would have compassion for. And so I think both of those, you know, they have their own roles in this phenomenon. But that entity in particular, it was pretty wicked.
Yeah, I always say that definitely allows you to let your guard down, because like, it's just a little girl. I'm okay. What could a little girl do to me?
That's exactly right, you know. And so it was an interesting experience for me. And you know, honestly, the only way I could cope with what I was experiencing was to tell myself that what I was experiencing was more of a language and not just a manifestation of evil. And so, there was intense moments. I would wake up sometimes and I would hear full blown conversation going on over my head. And so, you know, it was a fascinating time. I'm not going to lie about that, but it was pretty haunting. No pun intended.
My goodness. But did you have siblings or anyone that you could vent to? How'd your parents take it?
It had pretty much shut me down. I had detached myself from my family members. My parents were working, I think it was like first shift. So I would be in school, you know, like when they were at work, but they would be in bed early, you know, and so that entity would usually manifest to me at nighttime when I was alone. But there were times where I would be like 12 years old and I'd be pulling my mattress off my bed and like hoping they didn't see me sneak into their room. I just, you know, I didn't want to be alone with it.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to gain enough strength inwardly to confront it myself. So until then I was that annoying little kid.
Depressed and suppressed and depressed.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. Yeah. From what I can tell, this is just by the way it victimized me during that time. It was, it had a depression on it. Like it was very depressive and it was suicidal. Mm-hmm. And I know that for two reasons. It wasn't just, okay, how did it make me feel when I was in that house? But the spirit of suicide of people that deal with it is, it's got like a soft spot in my heart. I mean, I've been in restaurants before and people have sat down and I immediately know, and I begin to talk to them and kind of not really minister to them in the sense of like evangelical wise, but just talk to their heart, you know? And it's almost like a gift of discernment, and I can pick it up easier now than I would have, you know, if I never went through what I went through in that house.
Exactly. So, and your background is as a minister, correct?
Yeah. I preached all across the country, and I just kind of got burnt out on it. I saw a lot of things that people don't usually see behind the scenes, and I decided to take everything that I've been given and help people in a secular form. You know, in the houses and stuff. So not just at a local church.
I see. So you moved it into a more personable level for yourself to get your message across.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think that everybody hurts in different ways, and you don't have to be religious to be haunted. So I've decided to confront the darkness head on.
And exactly for yourself and others, how did this become where you're now a demonologist of sorts? What, how'd you do this? How'd you go this?
Oh my goodness.
Pretty deep.
Yeah. I didn't punch the ticket myself. How about that? I constantly went back in my mind and tried to understand what it was I experienced, why I was experiencing and no one else in my family was. And I knew I wasn't crazy. I knew it was all real, but I didn't understand what it was supposed to mean. And so that's when I began my research into demonology as a study. And so, you know, what I've been doing recently is I've been filling my mind with ancient manuscripts, going back to Sumer, Mesopotamia, the Akkadian texts, the origin of the unclean spirit in the Bible. And I'm trying to get a better understanding of what our ancestors in antiquity believed regarding possessing entities, demonology, and whether or not, I do believe it does, but whether or not it plays a role in, you know, the 21st century paranormal field. So that's where my study is at this moment.
Fascinating. So your research into demons and unclean spirits, mm-hmm. there's a twist, you believe, that's connected to implants?
100%. The implant in history, it originated through necromancy. And so if we go into the Old Testament, we have the character in Genesis, his name's Laban. And he was quote unquote an idolater. And when I was growing up in church, I kept hearing that, an idolater. And I just thought that he made figurines, honestly, and worshiped them. And I wish that was the case. But no, Laban worshiped what were called family gods. And so he was a necromancer. So what would happen is they would have a family member die, and then they would bury that family member underneath their house. Wow. And then they would create an idol in the image. This is why Yahweh said, don't make an image of me. This is very interesting. But then they would create an image, a metallic image of that dead ancestor, with the intention of the consciousness of that deceased person inhabiting the statue they're creating. And they were called teraphim. And so then, this is very interesting too, Laban would go out, he would find a victim. It could have been a murder victim, it could have been somebody that fell at his own hand. And he would take them into his house. This is very important, because these entities are fully aware of this. And you can tell I'm getting passionate, Heidi. You know me. They're very much aware of this reality. And many times our demonologists aren't. And that's, you know, until we get down into the dirt of this. But so Laban would take the victim. He would take the head. He would bury it in the wall. And then he would take a metallic bar and carve the name of an unclean spirit on it. Then he would take that bar and implant it underneath the tongue. And that consciousness that had left the body, the Bible calls it a wind. Our ancestors also called it unclean air. It's the consciousness that leaves the body at death. But that consciousness of the ancestor would then possess that head and speak to Laban by virtue of necromancy. And so there is a strain of evil, at least, that we are encountering in homes that is aware. These are necromantic entities. I will say this, like when we have Andrea Perron in the Conjuring House, and her mother was awoken one night. This is very interesting. And there were shadow figures saying there are seven dead soldiers buried in the wall. Right?
Yeah.
Why are they referring to that? To us, of course, who are in the 21st century now, we're removed from that period of history where, you know, we don't understand exactly what they're referring to. They're referring to family gods. This is incredible. And so that was the origin of the metallic implant. And so, you know, it's that kind of research that I'm doing, because I do believe that in order to understand the game they're playing, we have to understand their rules. And I think that in many cases in history, we've seen glimpses of those rules at play.
How disturbing. Wow. Well, we're going to cut to our next break. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
At ParanormalDate.com, you meet the most fantastic people.
Hi, I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. What brings you here?
Yeah, I'm here to meet someone who understands me.
How so?
Well, I'm into UFOs, ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, the paranormal, that kind of stuff. But can't seem to find anyone who gets it.
Oh, well, nice to meet you, Tom. I gotta go.
Okay, guess that's not your cup of tea. You sure?
Very. Good luck with that.
I can't meet anyone when I'm out, and I really can't find a website for my unique interests. What is one to do?
Have you thought about ParanormalDate.com?
Paro what dot what? Who are you?
I'm a paranormal matchmaker, and it's ParanormalDate.com. It's a website for people looking for people like them. Stuff you like, remember?
Interesting. I'll give it a try.
Well, let's try this again.
Hi, I'm Tom.
Hey, I'm Deb. Your profile on ParanormalDate.com looked very interesting. So you really saw a UFO?
Well, yeah. It was so intense, but not as intense as meeting you.
You're an alien chasing flirt, but I kind of like it.
Wow. This ParanormalDate.com thing really works.
Maybe ParanormalDate.com is for you. People with an interest in things they hear on George's show find their match daily. So if you're looking for that special someone with an interest in UFOs, ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and, of course, the paranormal, come to the dating site inspired by George Norrie. It's always free to search, and if you decide to upgrade to our amazing new features, use promo code George for a great discount. ParanormalDate.com. You are not alone.
The four. Organization.
The Art Bell Vault has classic audio waiting for you now. Go to coasttocoastam.com for details.
Hey, the Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel is waiting for you now.
Go to coasttocoastam.com for more information.
And now more Heidi Hollis on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I'm here with my guest, Nathaniel Gillis, who was just talking in depth about necromancy and family gods, which is mind-blowing. It really does take things to a whole other level. And ball game, like you were describing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a whole different ball game for us as researchers. And the scariest thing is that these entities are very knowledgeable about rites and rituals to a degree that sometimes they will mock us in our faces and we will not understand exactly what's going on. Now, for instance, I was I'm a big fan of Malachi Martin, and I know a lot of us are, the exorcist that worked with the Vatican for many years. But in his book, Hostage to the Devil, he mentions that how he was performing an exorcism, and he said the Lord's Prayer back, or he said the Lord's Prayer. That's what it was. He said the Lord's Prayer during the exorcism. And it was a successful exorcism in that regard. But he went home that night, was sleeping, and he woke up, he heard a noise, and he turns around. And again, just like the parents, he sees, this time it was four shadow figures that were speaking in unison. They were saying the Lord's Prayer backwards to him. And I didn't understand why they would do this, because I'm thinking, okay, these guys don't waste time. You know, they're not just there to scare him. That had a lot, you know, going on with it. So I began to research that. And it wasn't until I got into the 16th century, in the age of the demoniac, and I went into the Dybbuk literature. Dybbuk phenomenon, for those who aren't aware, because I wasn't either, but it's not just tethered to a wine box. Literally, and I'm not like intentionally trying to terrify people, but the word Dybbuk, the entire concept of the Dybbuk or Dybbuk, is literally the impregnation of the dead in the bodies of the living. And again, when we think about that, we think about the idol, right? It's possessed, it's speaking, it has an image. Well, in the Dybbuk phenomenon, there is an exorcist. His name is Isaac Luria. Isaac Luria was famous for his rituals. He was very successful. And he would go into the homes of these demoniacs, and he would whisper in their ear prayers forward and backwards. And that was just one of his ways that he would, get rid of that entity. So what exactly were they trying to do to Malachi Martin, right? Were they just mocking him? Were they demonstrating their knowledge of this exorcistic rite? Or more importantly, were they performing their own ritual as spiritual warfare against him? And so that's why I'm doing this research, and I think hopefully it'll be a contribution to the field.
Well, yeah, and it kind of connects the dots between the demonic and alien abductions with these implants.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, and it's something personally I've researched and coming into the know of shadow people and how they were connected mm-hmm. to aliens and the human soul and this whole game with the Hat Man. So mm-hmm. what is the Moulters? What does that name mean?
Well, the Moulters, it is a self-replicating species of evil. These are, okay, some people would call them Nephilim. Some people would call them demons in the sense that they would possess people. In order to define what a Moulter is, we have to first define what possession as a phenomenon is. So possession is necromancy. It is when that entity that has died, is disincarnate, tries to commandeer the consciousness of another human being. And so what they will do is they will step into the skin of that individual and will wear them as a second self. Matter of fact, Fritz Kramer calls it the social skin. And whenever that entity is done living in the skin of another human, it will molt them like an insect, like a cicada or a locust. And when it molts them, it leaves that skin and it'll go to another one. And so we would define that as transient possession. The Moulters, however, are not like transient in the way that they possess people. They use possession as a form of pregnancy. This is very important, guys. So let's go back to the 16th century and the Dybbuk phenomenon. What would begin as an incubus case to a woman, like, okay, so a woman would be sleeping and a spirit would appear to her in the form of a man. He would coerce her into a physical relationship. I'm making this PG, right?
Yeah.
He'd coerce her into physical relationship. The next day, that woman would then be possessed by that incubus spirit. I didn't know that was connected, right? Until I got into the 16th century and started going down these case studies.
Yeah.
So then you would have the woman going to the exorcist. The exorcist would begin to communicate with the possessing entity and then look in her belly. In her belly, you could see the entity was crawled up in the fetal position and it looked like she was pregnant with the entity.
Wow.
And so that led the exorcists to ask the question, was she pregnant or possessed by it? And so that's why we have to understand as researchers, at least with possession, is that what we would call possession, these entities call pregnancy. And that's why it's so, I mean, I can go deep and deep and deep, but that's why we have to keep looking at the missing fetus syndrome in the UFO abduction phenomenon. We have to look at why it was that like Father Sinistrario of Amina, the Franciscan priest, he would have incubi cases where they would actually go and collect biological samples left from the incubi spirit. And so, which tells us one thing, this is very interesting, guys, that the entities, these incubi entities, are not just interested in a relationship, they're interested in pregnancy.
And that takes us to the alien phenomena too.
Of course it does.
Exactly. I mean, that the total, like you were mentioning about the missing fetuses, and what I was told about that going on is that these babies are being born loyal to the dark side because they were created by them. So, so this, I got chills because I'm like, I know this, and I was told this from the alien side, but you know, tomato, tomato, angels, demons, aliens, you know? So I'm feeling you and I'm all in it. So I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. It's a terrifying tale of apocalyptic evil. And like, even if we go back into biblical antiquity and we go to Genesis 6 and the Nephilim, see, this is very interesting too, because if you strip all of the vowels out of the word Nephilim, you know, because when they wrote that passage of scripture, they didn't have vowels. So if you take that word itself in Hebrew, Nephil, it just means unexplained, unplanned pregnancies, Heidi.
Really?
Yeah. And so what these entities were doing in Genesis is they were impregnating women, taking the consciousness out of the child and placing their own in it. Now, we got time. We got like 2 minutes.
We got a few minutes yet.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to break it down. So, Genesis 6, when you read it in the King James Version, it's like reading Shakespearean English. Pretty much is, you know, thou, thy, they, and all this stuff. And it's very difficult to get to the bottom of what actually happened. And it's really interesting. But what I was doing one day is I was trying to get a better understanding and grasp of the phenomenon of Genesis 6, right? Who were the Nephilim? Why were they here? What were they doing? And so I got into Genesis 6 and I found a Coptic manuscript that was preserved by Egyptian monks. And it's called the Apocryphon of John. And in this, it says that these entities, now let's look and see if this is kind of like UFO abduction. It's amazing. So that these entities waited until the wives, these women, he said they waited until their husbands left. Very interesting. And then when the husband was gone to get a bottle of wine, or maybe they had died a year before or whatever, that entity would manifest to the woman as her husband. And so it would change its appearance into her husband. And then like an incubus would go in and try to coerce her into a physical relationship. So then it says something that really disturbs me. It says that at the moment of conception, again, keeping it PG, man, they stared into the eyes, hello, UFO abduction phenomenon, into the eyes of these women and then reversed their apparition to what they really looked like. And so again, they're playing by different rules because they're playing a different game. What game are they playing? Well, let's look at the rules they're employing. So when you go into what they were doing is that was an ancient obstetric tradition that whatever the woman was focused on, the obstetric references to childbearing and fertility, by the way, but the ritual they were performing was basically whatever the woman was focused upon at the moment of conception, usually her husband, it would that she would create in her womb the material image of as a child. So what they were doing is, okay, right? These are Moulters right here. These have the serial killer pathology in them. But what they were doing is it wasn't just transpossession, Heidi, right? This was them literally creating a body that looks like their apparition.
That's so disturbing.
And then they would step into the skin, grow up with the world as a child, and then that they would be Nephilim. This is why the Hebrew word Rephaim is often employed. They were giant, but they were also Rephaim. Rephaim means deceased ancestor. These are formerly human individuals. And I'll stop there, but it's such a fascinating
story. Amazing. We could talk forever. I just love your material, and I love where you're going with everything. Quickly, can you tell everybody how they could get a hold of you and your information and your events you're going to be having?
My website is njgillis.com. And you can also find me on Instagram as the Nathaniel Gillis, and then on Facebook as the Nathaniel Gillis. And I have... this year I have conferences. I'm going to be at the Dallas Paracon in August, and I'll be on a panel of demonology with a couple other great demonologists. And then I have, I think it's the New England Paracon, and then I think it's the Ocean State Paracon too. So there's a lot of them.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Nathaniel Gillis. This was a fascinating talk. All right, everybody, remember to go to my main website, which is HeidiHollis.com, and send me your emails, your comments, your questions about anything and everything out of the ordinary. And you have been listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And we'll catch you next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Well, if you liked this edition of Dark Becomes Light, wait till you hear the next one. You've been listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.